Good morning. There was this group of scientists. And they were all part of those experiments where we started to clone animals and fruits and vegetables and people. And so they had a meeting and they were talking to each other and they thought, well, you know what, we're so good at creating, I don't think we need God anymore. Well, somebody has to tell God about this. So they had a discussion. And one of them went to God, knocked on the door. God came out. They went for a walk in the garden. Had a beautifully deep conversation, and finally he got up the nerve. God, we're doing pretty darn good here. I don't think we need you anymore. So God, being God, was sweet and patient and kind and said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we have a man-making contest? And the man said, okay, we can do that. I can do that. God said, but we got to do it the old-fashioned way, going back to Adam. And the man said, okay, I can do that. And the man reached down to grab a handful of dirt, and God said, oh, no, 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 you go find your own dirt. Right? Because it's all one, you know, it's all God. And God is like the palm of your hand, and all these beautiful little extensions coming out are what we are. We're all part of that beautiful universal energy that I call spirit and I call God. Today we're going to talk about spiritual conviction. So I always like to start with the dictionary description of whatever it is that I'm talking about. So I went to my metaphysical Bible dictionary, and I looked up conviction, and it wasn't there. Heck, I looked up spiritual, and it wasn't there. So I went to the next best thing, Google. And on one particular website, it was the first one that came up as far as what spiritual conviction is. It said, it is the work of the Holy Spirit where a person is able to see himself as God sees him. Oh, this is good. I think we can do this. It went on to say, guilty, defiled, and totally unable to save himself. Whereas conviction functions differently for Christian and non-Christians, for the non-Christian, conviction reveals sinfulness, guilt, and brings fear of God's righteous judgment. Whereas conviction in the believer brings an awareness of sin and results in repentance, confession, and cleansing. Aren't you all glad you're here today? No guilt, no pressure, just love. Religious Science is a teaching organization, not a preaching organization. And if we want to deepen our spiritual connection with spirit, go to the classes. Learn how to do this for yourself. Because our connection begins with us at the very center of who we are. To spirit, we can only do it for us, and spirit can only do for us what it can do through us, right? Well, in a more general description as far as conviction, it's a firmly held belief or opinion. Y'all agree with that? Yeah, okay. And Ernest Holmes, who is our founder, he said that it is the act of convincing or compelling the admission of a truth. So when you really believe in something, when you really have faith in something, that is your conviction. How much do you believe in spirit? How much do you believe in its action through you in your life? You must work it to have it work in your life. Faith. For those of you that have been in this philosophy for quite some time, you've heard this before. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have that faith that whatever it is that you are hoping for, you are dreaming for, that you are wanting to see show up in your life, you know that it will. The evidence of things not yet seen. It goes on to say that it is also a mental attitude, so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it. What do we call that in religious science? We call that a demonstration. When we can no longer deny that idea, that thought, that belief of love, of health, of peace, of prosperity, there is no longer any room for a denial. And we receive that demonstration, and now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is truth in this, and therefore so begins our conviction. Ernest Holmes tells us that we can generate conviction, we can generate faith. Anytime there is something that we wish to generate, to demonstrate in our life, we have to begin to realize those feelings. The feelings are what will bring forth those demonstrations. John and I were on our way back from the Bay Area a couple weeks ago, so we decided to stop at Dr. J. Scott Neal's center in Fremont. And he wrote a book. It's called The Power of Positive Purpose. And what he says in this book is the experience, what shows up in your life, what's happening right now, the experience is the result or the effect of our belief in action. What do you believe about your life? Do you believe there are difficulties? Do you believe it is full of love? Do you believe that you are not good enough? Perhaps. It is because of our beliefs that those things are happening and beginning to circulate in our life. So important to change the belief, change the thought, to change what's showing up in our life. E.E. Cummings shared a great lesson by saying, a person who does not look for a forever new cause will always live with a forever old effect. So I'll repeat that one, because that was really cool. That was really worth it. Okay, a person who does not look for a forever new cause will always live with a forever old effect. That same story about the guy walking down the street, falling into a hole, and he does it again and again and again. We can't expect to make changes in our life or have different demonstrations in our life if we don't choose to make those changes ourselves. The same thing will continue to happen over and over again. We must change our belief system to have new things show up. So how do we find that faith? How do we find that conviction? How do we deepen our connection with spirit? And these are the same things that we learn to do, but we have to keep going and going and going, continuing to deepen that relationship with spirit. Okay, well, how do we deepen that relationship? We deepen the relationship by spending quiet time with God. There is great, great power in stillness. There is great, great power when you come back to you, no matter what's going on around you. in your life, in your circumstances. I don't care what the circumstance is. By changing your thoughts and by changing your beliefs, you will make a demonstration of change in your life. Some people journal. Journaling is great. Sometimes we have to get that stuff out of our head and onto paper. Call a practitioner, call a spiritual life coach. You are surrounded by a beautiful army of practitioners. Use them. Learn how to do this for yourself. It will change your life. So Suzanne and I were talking earlier about prosperity, and she's been speaking with somebody that is really, really good with this. I'm going to get her name. About 20 years ago, Reverend Bob Bailey brought in Edwin Gaines. Yeah, I missed that one. I was a little upset. So I've always been curious about the way that she's done things. She's in her 80s now, I think, and I don't believe that she is doing workshops any longer. I think she sold her estate that she had back in the Midwest. And Edwin Gaines wrote a book called The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And she talks about tithing, goal setting, forgiveness, and finding your divine purpose. All of these things require divine conviction. It requires your faith to be able to change your life in different ways. And in her case, it was prosperity. John and I went to a conference back in Missouri here a couple months ago, and they had an auction. And the only thing I saw in that auction that I wanted was this book and this CD and another CD she had on forgiveness. That's all I saw. Well, the darn minister behind me, he wanted it too. Do you know what I paid for that? Yeah, well, actually, John was the one that took out his wallet. I paid $130 for that. I did. And it was well worth it. It was well worth it. She is an amazing woman. And some of these women that have got this down pat, and they have information to share with you, take them up on that. Take them up on that. So while I was writing this talk, I had, there was one message that came through when I was writing this talk. And the other one was something that I received during that conference time. And I don't know who these messages are for. You will know it when you hear it. You don't have to raise your hand. So at the conference, we had a minister that stood up front. And he was talking to all the graduates and everybody that was out there. And he said, do not ever try to emulate someone else. Do not try to emulate another person. You are the divine child of the Father, Mother, God, made in God's perfect image and likeness. You are exactly who you are supposed to be. Nobody else. You have the most magnificent attributes, the most magnificent gifts to give. You are somebody and you count. Each and every one of these individualized personifications of the Father, Mother, God, and each one of you are magnificent beings of spirit. Don't ever doubt that. Message one. Message two came through on Facebook. Yeah, I do the Facebook thing. And it came through from Reverend Liz, who is the interim minister over at the Center for Positive Living in El Dorado County. And this blast came through, and I went, wow, you know, you get those tingles. It's for somebody. So I'm here to tell you, this one is for you also. I don't know who wrote it. It says, you cannot suffer the past or the future because they do not exist. What you are suffering is your memory and your imagination. You cannot suffer the past or the future because they do not exist. What you are suffering is your memory and your imagination. That is for somebody here. We can't suffer from what has happened before. It is in our head. Sometimes we are continuously working to let it go, to release it. Sometimes the strengths and the bonds and the chains hold us in place, which is why you find yourself here in a place such as this, to help you heal that, release that, and let that go, because we can't do anything about the past. Nothing. We want to start projecting about the future. The only time I want to see anybody projecting about the future is if they are generating love and peace and light and all things that are good, whole, and complete. You start projecting about the future, we're not going to have enough, we're going to be sick, I'm going to be alone, he's going to leave me. Okay, well, you're setting that stuff in motion too. That's not here either. The only time you have to work with is right now. That's it. It is said that we must be born again, that we must become as little children. Why is that? Why must we become as little children? Because their minds are open. They're open. They're empty. They're ready to receive. They're childlike. When you get to be, I don't know, my age, you get filled with a lot of junk, a lot of judgment, a lot of stuff that doesn't work, that hurts. And then we end up in a spot like this where we got to let it go. We've got to let go of the abuses. We've got to let go of the feeling not good enough. Remembering things were said or done or experiences or situations or circumstances. We must release that and become as little children, open and ready to receive love. So the day after Thanksgiving, John and I held up inside the house. We do it once a year. You ought to try it. It's kind of fun. You turn off the phone. You watch movies. You play Trivial Pursuit. You just eat pumpkin pie all day. So we watched, what was that, Honeysuckle Rose. We watched 5 hours of Gone with the Wind. And we watched, do you guys remember that Cinderella play back in the 60s with Leslie Ann Warren? Yeah. Okay, so I used to watch that every year. Well, we found it, and we watched it. And I, you know, the prince looked so familiar to me, and I'm like, who is this guy? I finally realized it was Dr. Alan Quatermain from General Hospital. So we're watching this, and I'm watching the evil stepmother and the two fruity, loony kind of stepsisters and sweet little Leslie Ann Warren as Cinderella.